Welcome to the Future.Bible podcast, where you'll hear profiles of individuals and Bible-inspired organizations making a difference in the digital world. In each episode, we'll bring you stories of innovation, advancement, and real-life change. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to another episode of the Future.Bible podcast. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine here in Seattle. His name is Chris Lim, and he has done some really neat things in his short life. I think I'm twice as old as you are. I'm 53. How old are you? I'm 30. Okay, same, almost. Yeah. And he's previously worked at Amazon, and he loves the Lord, so he has a very unique perspective, many perspective, I would say, about theology and technology and scripture engagement. So we're going to have a conversation about that. But Chris, maybe for a little more context, I'm low context, but many other people would like a little more context in your background. How did you get into technology, and when did you come to the Lord, and how did that come together?
There's a lot of questions to answer in a brief sentence. But let's see. Technology, I got into technology when I was probably three. Because my dad had a laptop in those early days when they were still big, heavy, and clunky, and I got to play with it, just kind of bang on the keyboard. But the thing that got me really into computer science and programming was probably the TI-83 Plus, the programming calculators that they had you do in school, because you could actually program that. And so I remember writing a program that helped me do my math homework, so I wouldn't have to do it all by hand. I could just plug in the numbers and get my quadratic solutions out, and that program would spread to other people. You would transfer a calculator to calculator. And just that feedback loop of having an idea, being able to put it into a program, and then it does it for you, is probably how I got started really appreciating and loving that power of technology. And so later in my life, you asked me about how I knew the Lord. I did grow up in a home that was Christian, but kind of like my parents came to Christ personally, and so it wasn't culturally Christian. It was something that, you know, we'd experienced God's grace work in their lives and in my life personally as well. We could talk about it on your other podcast, Raised Exchange, sometime.
Thank you.
There's definitely some other elements of what God did in my life to let me experience the power of the gospel. Because I think sometimes we can easily assume that just the message of the gospel is all that people need to hear, but it's really the power of the gospel that can set people free from shame, from sin, from addictions and stuff like that. I experienced that power by God's grace. And that was a huge turning point for my life in the sense that I realized that all the things I loved about technology were given by God as a gift and meant to be used for a specific purpose, for the kingdom of God. And so that changed my life, and I worked for Amazon for several years, and eventually I felt called by God to leave Amazon and start my company, Theotech, and to basically say, what if God is our customer? What if we obsess over what God desires, and then work backwards to invent technology that delivers those outcomes? And so that's what I'm doing today. I have my co-founder, who's my sister. And we've been doing several projects. I can talk about one of them is a free prayer app called Ceaseless. We do the Theotech podcast, which I want to invite you to share as well on our thing. And the big thing that we're working on right now is a program called Spiffio, which provides real-time translation and captioning for events. But really the big dream, the way that it serves our customers' interests, is we believe that God's kingdom is incomplete without people who are deaf or blind, people who can speak many languages. And so we invented this technology to make it possible for churches to welcome people in every language. People can just come on their phone, pick their language, get translation, and in that way, they're witness to God's kingdom through our local gatherings. And so that's Spiffio, spf.io, and it's the big push that we're doing. We're working on something called Pentecost to make Pentecost a big deal, to make it a thing. It should be like Easter. It should be like Christmas. You know, we should be so excited about the gift of the Holy Spirit and what it means for the nations.
That's great. And so you've explained Spiffio.
Yep.
Let's give you a minute to explain Ceaseless, because I think that's a really impacting kind of thing too in terms of prayer and Facebook and people.
So Ceaseless started as this idea of like, hey, you know, I have a hard time praying. I'm always praying for myself. I'm a pretty selfish person, but I know God wants me to pray for other people. And so what if I could build programs that help me to pray for others instead of myself? That's really where Ceaseless came from. And eventually we built a prototype and stuff like that. And I had about 70 friends who signed up to get an email of their Facebook friends through their Facebook friends to pray for every morning. And after a few months, we prayed for more than 20,000 people, just the 70 of us. So if you're part of a small church of like 70 people, your relational footprint is enormous. And for us, it took time to discern this, but with that principle of saying God is the customer, I began to realize something. I realized from 1 Timothy 2 that the Apostle Paul told us to pray for all people, especially those in power. And the reason why is that God desires all people to be saved. So if my customer wants that and has already specified the way that desire is to be expressed, through the prayers of God's people for every person on earth. What's happened is, you know, we take it maybe at face value as like an abstraction, like, okay, God, we pray for the government, we pray for this group or this nation or this society, but technology has made it possible for us to take that even more literally and to pray for individuals personally that we know, that we have a relationship with. And the powerful thing with the math of it is that if only 1% of the world, 1% of Christians in the world personally prayed for three of their friends every morning, the mathematical model shows you could pray for everyone on earth personally, assuming that you had a relationship that way. Mm-hmm. Now, we have unreached people groups where there are no relationships, so this is just kind of unveiling the frontier, I guess you could say. But at the end of the day, technology made it possible, is making it possible for us to pray personally for every person in our contact book, that God would either save them, work in their life, help them, and encourage them. And that's unprecedented. That's the power of tech. And that's what it looks like when you make God the customer. You do things that are innovative, that go beyond just like, oh, I'm a busy person, I'm really distracted, I want to pray better, so let's build a human-centered app to help me do what I think I need, versus a God-centered app, which is saying, God wants us to pray for others this way. So can we support those interests that God has for our prayer lives?
Wow. Those are phenomenal world-changing ideas. And you'll notice that if you're listening on this podcast at normal speed, it sounds like Chris is talking at 1.5 speed. And he does talk very fast, so feel free to rewind and unpack some of his thoughts because they're pretty dense. And then let's move into...
I'll speak slower, too.
Let's move into how you're thinking in terms of God being the customer who wants to communicate to his people and through Scripture, ultimately, but perhaps facilitated through technology. Speak to what you're exploring there.
So... I had this this thought early in the days of Theotech, and we haven't really done much with it. And it was a dream of worldwide biblical literacy. Mm-hmm. Just worldwide biblical literacy. We believe that's something that God desires.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about how does technology play a role in that. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about language itself, our ability to communicate, that is a God-given technology. Like, it was there from Adam and Eve, and it's so amazing that I can create thoughts in your mind just through the sounds that are coming out of my mouth, and that you can track with me. That's pretty incredible.
Or symbols on the page or a screen.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then additional technologies like symbols on the page, on the screen, everything else like that. And what I kind of, in our present day, we have an abundance of access to Scripture in English, at least. Not the multilingual angle, but in English, everybody can get it for free on the internet, get it on our phones. And so the real challenges of our day when it comes to Bible Scripture engagement seem to be... couple things. One is that we have a glut of information and possibilities and distractions, and so Scripture is very easy to kind of not be the priority that we actually spend giving our attention to. We have things like Facebook, which are actually designed to steal our attention for profit and connect with our friends, but you know, it's the technology is intentionally designed to capture that and take it away maybe from Scripture and the kind of deep engagement with Scripture that's necessary to really benefit from it. We also have other things like the fact that we don't really practice the Scriptures. So we might read it just for knowledge or study or curiosity, but we're not operationalizing it. And it was always meant to be operationalized. And so that's where technology might do something unique in our present time. So these are just some, you know, brainstorming ideas of opportunities for technology to make a huge difference when it comes to Scripture engagement. And so I tend to think about making God your customer does end up making you a leader. We're not just trying to follow the market. We're not just trying to follow the fact that everybody's attention is being captured by Instagram, Facebook. It's like, okay, we have to go there now. We have to go here now. We have to do this now. It's a factor in what we're thinking about. But what we know from Scripture is that what God desires is the obedience of faith among the nations and that the Scriptures were meant to actually be practiced, right? That's what's kind of special about our opportunity here.
And I can think of a verse that Jesus said after his resurrection that we are to make disciples of all nations or all nationalities or cities to baptize them and to teach them to obey all that he's commanded. And that second part often gets left out. And I think that's what you're referring to when you say operationalize.
That's exactly. That is what I mean by operationalize. And that's what I think of as like worldwide biblical literacy 2.0. Everybody already has access to, for English speaking at least, everybody does have access to the printed text and to the digital text. It's not an issue of that kind of access. The challenges that we face are how do we actually live into and obey this in communities of practice and in our individual lives. So this is all brainstorming again, and I'm just, you know, talking in our future of Bible. Future.
Well, we want to create this space to have those conversations so that others can join in and build on ideas
that'd be wonderful.
Like this.
So I'll give you some prototype ideas that we did experiment with but never really shipped. So one thing that we did, how many, like, people on the podcast probably, if they work, they are familiar with performance reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And in a performance review, your peers give you feedback about your core competencies, like, you know, are you good at coding? You know, what is the quality of the code you produce? And are you able to work with your colleagues? You know, that kind of feedback. And the goal there, at least when I was at Amazon, is to help create leaders, right? Mm-hmm. That you have these leadership principles you're trying to hold each other accountable to, and when you practice them, you are rewarded by the performance review system.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that has happened in Christian history, it's not new. You just take Ignatius, the Catholic tradition, and the prayer of examine, kind of, right? Where people are examining their, at the end of the day and the beginning of the day,
mm-hmm.
their own spiritual life. One thing that I think technology could do that we tried to prototype with was we took some texts like the fruit of the Spirit. We took some texts like the qualities that Peter, in 1 Peter, says that if you practice these, you will never stumble, you will never fall. And made them into almost like a performance review thing, where on a regular basis, you can just examine your life and consider to what degree this fruit is being produced or to what degree I'm practicing this quality that Peter says if I practice it, I will not fall and I won't be fruitless. And through the regular practice of that, end up operationalizing the scriptures, which is what it was meant to be for. And so now it's no longer just like having to be, oh, I heard a convicting sermon this one Sunday, or, you know, my time of prayer resulted in this thing. It's like actually the scriptures are kind of like affecting our life and intentionally being molded to change us, right? And we're trying to, it's like looking in the mirror that James says.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually paying very close attention to the mirror to see like, oh, okay, what is it? Is my life like, is it aligned with the kind of character that God is intending for me to reflect Christ? And it's this very scripture-driven way. It's not just an ambiguous value system, but it's like, here's what the scriptures themselves say, that the fruit of the Spirit is like. And so, you know, that's something that you can do personally as a discipline. Anybody could do this because they have the text and they could do this. But it's also something where I see technology could help, right? Because we are distracted, something as simple as having it on your calendar to do a Christian, not performance review, maybe grace review, I don't know what we want to call it, but having that time on your calendar where you're like, okay, let's now take a moment to look in the mirror, consider the scriptures, and where I'm, you know, where I'm bearing fruit the way God wants, where I'm lacking, and what can be, you know, what can be changed so that I can produce more of the qualities and fruit that the Lord Himself says He wants. So that's what it would look like to innovate in this space, is thinking through how do we press the scriptures further than just, oh, everybody has access to it in their pocket or on the internet. Or just like getting their attention, like, oh, I looked at that little clip that had a verse, or I read the verse of the day. But pressing it in further and deeper into our lives, the way our smartphones are so embedded in our lives nowadays, so that it is shaping us. It is kind of renewing our mind, and we're trying to like refit according to and be renewed according to what God's calling us to do.
Well, let me contrast what you're describing. So it's not a reading plan where people are just reading the text, and there are very good tools out there for reading the text and maybe even reading through the whole Bible in a year. There are good technologies being applied to Bible translation. So there's about 6,000 languages in the world. 4,500 are in process of translation already. There's another 1,500 or so. That technology can accelerate that translation. But what you're describing is a bit more of how do we discern, evaluate, or measure our own spiritual growth and fruit. Now, in doing that, it sounds like it's a self-evaluation quiz, and we have our own limitation of seeing who we are by ourselves. We also have blind spots.
Yep.
So how do you think this concept would apply in the sense of a community so that you get feedback from other people that are speaking into your life?
That's a fantastic question.
Okay.
Because even in the process of evaluation, I wanted to be very careful because we want to think it through the way that God does things. And I don't think God does evaluations according to the way that we as humans do, necessarily.
Okay.
There's something about God's grace that is transformative about how we do evaluation. It's not the same as a performance review in a company, right? God has an objective, and for those who have the Holy Spirit in them, that objective is going to be fulfilled without fail. That's the amazing news of God's grace, is that despite all of our failures and our sins and everything like that, somehow God's grace abounds even more in order to produce in us the character of Christ so that we become like Christ. So there's something about self-evaluation in the Christian theological context that I think is really hopeful. It's not a time to be guilty and to beat yourself up or to try to be perfect about it either. It's just that it's a way that you're listening to God and really saying, oh, what does God really want out of my life? That's the big question that we're asking, right? And that's what we're trying to see. Like, are we living into what God's calling us to? So in light of that, then, the community aspect isn't really the same thing as an accountability group. And I've been in accountability groups, and it's been more like, oh, you know, man, I looked at porn this week. I messed up. Okay, let's pray for each other. And that's it. There's no real sense of, like, here's God's calling and gifting your life. How do we unleash that? And then these other things are hindrances that we're going to try to work on so that you can bear fruit for the gospel. That's really the big deal. That's the big goal, that to serve that vocational discernment, following the Holy Spirit, and then using our gifts to bear fruit for the kingdom wherever God sends us.
I like that. Fruit-oriented rather than failure-oriented.
Absolutely.
Hey, those are alliterations.
It's a great
preachers
alliteration.
Preachers will like that.
We should use that. And so when it comes to this concept of community-based scripture engagement, I don't yet know what it would look like in concrete form, right? But there's certainly room for 360-degree evaluation, which is like, hey, DJ, you know, if you know me well enough, love your feedback. About am I speaking the truth in love, or did you feel like I was passive aggressive, and maybe I held back from you, and that's not good. That's not kingdom, or you know.
Well, I think to riff off your thought there, to be a fruit oriented approach to speak into someone's life and call out that potential and seeing where God's working, that perhaps there's a way of celebrating. Hey, I see God working in you, Chris, in these and these ways and in this situation.
Yep.
And that can propel us forward toward responding to God's grace working in our lives and how we're seeing each other.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. Yeah. And like and technology can help with this, because the tighter we can close that feedback loop, of we hear scripture, we're practicing it, and we get the feedback loop, even if it's not coming from the world, but like our brothers and sisters in Christ saying, you know, it didn't work, but guess what? You were faithful to what God called you to do. That's fantastic, affirming that, right? The tighter we close that feedback loop, you end up with a flywheel, that concept of like the momentum's building up. And you just can't get enough of it. You want to obey more and more of what God calls you to, right? And the flywheel just keeps spinning off and just put up more and more energy, more fruit. You end up with a virtuous cycle. So I love that thing that you added, which is the opportunity for us to affirm one another in the ways that God's grace is bearing fruit in our lives.
Yeah, that's kind of the ideas that we want to provide a space for and to share and to allow us to build on ideas that build on ideas. And then at the right time, God will begin to bear fruit and have it be, some of you will water, some of you will harvest, and we can celebrate together. Apologize for the noise. We're here at the Seattle Cedar Brook Lodge for the Bible Tech Conference. It's day one of two. And Chris is dropping by to hang out and talk with us on Future.Bible. And unfortunately, you couldn't be here for the whole conference.
I'm really glad I got to hang out. Yeah. And there's one thing, I don't know if you were trying to wrap up, but there's one thing I wanted to say.
Yeah, one more thing. I know you should mention, like, you got two or three prototypes. So we have time for one more.
Oh, this is not a prototype. This is more like a comment. That's something I noticed. I'm a millennial, and I, you know, in my church and stuff, I have friends who are around my generation and age group and younger. And I have noticed that many people actually are not engaged with Scripture, even though they go to church, right? They get the liturgy. They do Scripture in worship, of course. But, you know, they're influenced more by other books or their work, their homework, schoolwork, and then, you know, whatever. And one thought that came to my mind from my conversations with them was that I think that there's a misconception that when you read the Bible, you have to understand what it says right away. And it's discouraging because it's a pretty big book with so many different genres. And if you just dive into it, a lot of stuff won't make sense. And so you just feel like, I got nothing out of it. I'm going to give up. But I think that if people viewed it a little bit more like going to the gym or something like that, where they realize, like, you know, you did 10 push-ups today and that was all you could do. You do it again the next day. You do it again the next day. Eventually you can do 15, 20, 50, 100. You don't see the results immediately, but you know that as you consistently put in the effort into it, eventually those muscles start developing and you see progress over the long term. And so what I've encouraged young people to do is, like, read the Bible, even if it's only one verse a day. Or, like, if you brush your teeth in the morning and brush your teeth at night, you could just read something while you're doing that. But consistently make your way through it, even if it's only, like, one verse at a time, but in order, so it still has context. And what happens is that after the first year or whatever like that, you may not have gotten anything out of it, but you still did it. And then concepts start connecting. And then illusions start forming between, oh yeah, that, I remember that other thing. And then they start forming into bigger bigger structures of meaning in your mind, into the bigger narrative. And over time, you get to the point where you become biblically literate. Now you know your way around. You can navigate your way around inside the text. And more than that, you can even start to predict what the authors are going to write before you read that part of what they said. And that's a good sign that the scriptures are being embedded into your way of thinking, into your mind. You have the genre now. You know what the prophets are about to say. You know what to expect when they talk about injustice, immorality, and idolatry, and all that stuff. And you get bigger concepts that hold that meaning together. And so I want to encourage people who, if they struggle with Bible reading, don't feel guilty about it. But if you can make it something like brushing your teeth and consistently go through the scriptures over time, you will see the benefit of it. And then you'll get the joy more and more. It becomes another flywheel as the meaning starts forming in your mind. And you're starting to see it apply to so many other parts of real life because you've meditated on the text consistently. Then you get the feedback loop, but it takes time. It's like going to the gym. If you give up too soon, then yeah, you're not going to see the results, and it felt like it wasn't worth it.
That's a great thought. And there's something about the Lord's Prayer that talks about give us our daily bread, and that we are to not only live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So there's something in just reading the word or hearing the word that will take effect over time as we continue to do it. So thanks for the encouragement. Some of our viewers and listeners would want to connect with you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, you can email me at chrislim, C-H-R-I-S-L-I-M, at theotech.org, T-H-E-O-T-E-C-H.org. And I'm also on Twitter at Merit and Grace, M-E-R-I-T-A-N-D-G-R-A-C-E. And those are probably the two easiest ways to connect with me personally. You can also find our Theotech Facebook page and like it and other ways like that.
And we'll add the links in the show notes so that you can one click through those things, but wanted to just give you an audible on what that would sound and look like. Well, thank you for listening and watching this episode of the Future.Bible podcast. Please like us and rate on iTunes so that others can join this conversation as we talk about the intersection of Bible and technology. Let's create the future together and remember to be a blessing because God's blessed us so richly. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's session, please help us share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and family members. You can do that by leaving a review on iTunes or by sharing our website, www.future.bible, with your network. Don't forget to join us next week for the next episode of the Future.Bible podcast.